Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you this afternoon. Beautiful day out there. Before we get started talking about the Metronics technology program out there at Piedmont Tech with Charles Dixon, I want to tell you this morning I was in Uptown Greenwood at the beautiful Inn on the Square, finding out the unveiling of the Greenwood Promise. And of course, this is a program that once it is funded here in the next, I guess, year or so, they are going to promise that all students that graduate from District 50 will have the opportunity to go to at least a two-year higher education program. And that's a pretty awesome promise to give to students. Of course, you do have to be here. I think it was just 4 years. They weren't going to let you just come in and take that last semester. They do have requirements, and you have to do your part in school too. But still, a really nice program that has been very successful in other communities. Part of the byproduct of that is, of course, better paying jobs and more people staying in your hometown, which is something that you always want to see. But in order for people to stay in the hometown, they got to be able to get the jobs that they're looking for. So I was real impressed this morning, and just wanted to mention that. But my very special guest this afternoon is Charles Dixon. He is out there with the Metronics program, and they have quite a program that offers a comprehensive education which combines elements of electronics, mnemonics, hydraulics, mechanics, IT, computers, and robotics. Wow. That's a lot of different things you cover out there, Charles.
Yes.
How did you get involved in this type of program? I mean, you were in the Army originally.
Yes. When I was in the Army, I didn't really do a whole lot of this, though.
What did you do in the Army?
Jumped out of perfectly good airplanes.
You having any problem with your knees now?
No.
Well, you are very lucky.
I only did it for 3 years. My dad, though, he did it for about 20-something years, and he did have problems. But I learned from him to stop sooner.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Jeff said that my husband was jumped out of airplanes too, and they told him, look, you're going to have problems if you don't, you know, start doing things right. And of course, when you're young and 25, you go, nah, that's not going to be a problem for me. Now the man crips around here and he has problems. Yeah.
You're indestructible at that age, and you'll listen to anything, including your dad telling you to do that.
Right.
So.
Exactly. But the Army was a good basis for you.
It was. I left home and went straight into the military, and from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and went right back to Fayetteville, North Carolina at Fort Bragg. So it was like all my other friends went off to college or jobs, and so I just had a job with the same suit of clothes every day.
That's true. You were telling me one of the interesting things, your first introduction to voting.
Oh, yeah. I got to stand honor guard at Richard Nixon's inauguration, and I did vote for him. That was my very first time being able to vote at 19 years of age. And so that turned out real well for me and our nation. But anyway, it was part of the process, and I've been voting ever since. I even voted for Ross Perot one time.
Ross Perot, okay. You know, the thing about voting, though, is that people do need to take the time to make up their own minds on voting.
They do.
And I think that's one of the problems, is that people don't take enough time to study up and make those decisions.
You're absolutely right. Like I was always told, if you don't participate in the process, then you have no right to complain about it later.
That's right.
So it's a...
But those are the ones that always complain the loudest, I think, are the ones that don't participate in the process. But we're not here to talk about politics today, but we are talking about the Metronics technology program there. And I am just curious, what made you want to get into that program after you left the military and then become a teacher?
Well, it's kind of an interesting thing. I was... asked to write this little bio by our college communication department, and I looked at it and I said, well, there's my life in six paragraphs. But basically, I was when I got out of the military, I had a GI Bill, so I started going back to school, and I initially went into math and computer science, and it was just so dry to me. So then
what year was that roughly?
Oh, that was in 74, 75.
That was a different computer time than what we live in today.
Oh, yeah, we used punch cards and stuff.
And computers took up whole rooms.
Oh, yeah, and the computer wasn't even on the campus. You had terminals. And then if you made a mistake, you had to wait for the paper printout to come back, and you had to pull the card out, correct it. And it was actually Fortran programming was my first initiation into programming. But anyway, I kind of liked the programming part, but I didn't want to do that for a living, not pure programming all the time. So the electronics part, I went into an EET program and started that. And then I moved from North Carolina down, ended up moving back to South Carolina, or actually Georgia. My grandfather died, so I moved down there and lived on the farm with my grandmother, and then worked for a company called Colonial Baking Company, and it was a route sales, thing. So I had to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and work long hours distributing bread. So
you decided you didn't like that either, huh?
Well, it was decided for me. They actually closed that route. So I went back to school.
Okay.
And decided, well, I said, I'm going to go back into electronics. And I did at Piedmont Technical College, and ended up getting a 2-year degree there, and got, I had a job while I was doing it, but then I got a better job after finishing it with Greenwood Mills Service Department, and became a technician there doing troubleshooting and repairing. So I got a really good introduction to things, but then later I saw kind of the handwriting on the walls for textiles.
Right.
So I left there, but oddly enough, I went to a textile machinery company. And while I was at the textile machinery company, I was still living in Greenwood, but I was working in Easley, South Carolina. And I went back to school to take a program called Automated Manufacturing Technology, and that had robotics in it.
Yes.
And so the company I was working for was using robots and automation. So I learned a lot, and I got a lot of experience, field experience. So it was kind of interesting. And then, so that company was starting to look kind of shaky, too, with the textile industry. So I left there and went to school or work for a company in Duncan, South Carolina, called Cryovac.
Mm-hmm.
And that company, it was injection molding, plastic injection molding, and they made bags, barrier bags for meat. They made stretch wrap. They made all kind of products like that. So they used a lot of PLCs, and they used robots as there as well, all kind of automation. So while I was there, I went back to school through a program at South Carolina State offered through Piedmont Tech, and finished and got my 4-year degree in electrical engineering technology. And then, when I was still there at Cryovac, I started part-time teaching at night for Piedmont Tech in the EET program, the electronic engineering technology. Mm-hmm. I did that for almost 4 years, and an opening came open. One of the guys in industrial electronics was going to retire there, and so my good friend, as I call him, as I thanked him for getting me into education many times, kind of sarcastically.
Right.
But anyway, he told me about the opening, so I went out there and interviewed and got the job, and took a nice little pay cut doing it. But I knew I was going to do that. But it put me closer to home. My kids were smaller at the time, so I got to see them finish growing up at least.
Right.
So I wasn't traveling as much then. And while I was at Piedmont Tech, working in industrial electronics department, I went back to school and got my master's degree from Clemson. And so I was running up and down the highway going back and forth to Clemson, and I finished that in about a year and a half. Took the 30 hours with them to get my master's, and ever since then I've just been teaching. And then I guess about 7 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
we started the mechatronics program, and so that's how I got into mechatronics.
You know, I think there is an interesting thread here that I hear, Charles, and that is that education never stopped for you.
It didn't, and it still really doesn't. I mean, you don't get formal pieces of paper and things like that, but you're constantly going to training because technology is always changing. We got robots when we started the mechatronics program. Mm-hmm. So we all had to go back to school and take the robot training classes.
Right.
We're still doing that all the time.
Those robots are constantly evolving.
Yes, they are.
You ever worry they might take your job?
Not these robots.
Okay.
Excuse me. But I guess the things you see in science fiction about robots, I think they're a little ways off yet from actually being able to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. But I think it's very interesting, the fact that you have constantly been going back to school. And this is what they say that the future holds for our students that are coming up now. We used to think you got a career, you took a job,
right.
And you stayed with that job. You may have changed companies, but you still had the same type of job. And what you have just explained to us is what's true of today's world, too.
And one reason I kind of moved around with some of those jobs too was I moved because of necessity and sometimes, but you get I got a broader basis of experience working for some different companies, and that helped me a lot when I came back to teach at Tech, because I didn't just have the credentials, and then I had the experience too.
Sure.
And so that really helped me as far as them hiring me, I think. And the fact that I had been teaching 4 years part-time for him in the past was kind of an introduction. They said, well, he already knows what he's getting into as far as the teaching side of it goes.
Sure.
So having that background helped too, I think.
I would think that teaching would be very satisfying when you see the light bulb come on in somebody's head, or then you have people that graduate from the program, and I'm sure you get a telephone call, or you bump into somebody and they say, you know, you changed my life because now I'm capable of supporting me and my family, et cetera.
And that's a lot of the incentive for some of our students. They're already working or have worked somewhere before. Reductions in layoffs and things like that forces them possibly to come back and upgrade their skills, and then they're able to get better jobs, hopefully. And we've seen that a lot. Our placement was always good in industrial electronics, but it's pretty good in mechatronics now, too, because companies are looking kind of for somebody who can. Years ago, they didn't call it mechatronics. They called it mechelect, and it was mechanical and electrical. But
right.
Now mechatronics is not only mechanical and electrical, it's also automation in that boom. So they want people that our particular program that can maintain those machines and understand how they operate, and that systematic approach that the Europeans use is kind of what we're supposed to
be working on. Well, listen, we are talking with Charles Dixon. He is from the Mechatronics Technology Program out there at Piedmont Tech. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to jump in and start talking about some of the possibilities, maybe even some of the money that you can make on this job, because you know, in today's world, money makes the world go round. Money makes your world go round. So, hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds, too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right here. Your glasses are right there on the front. We are right here. You looking for your glasses? Charles lost his glasses. I helped him out.
Thanks.
Okay. We're talking about Mechatronics and what a great program that is. Now, I guess we're going to jump into after we hear the news, but a couple of points. What kind of money do people that graduate from the Mechatronics program, what can they expect? And what type of employers, who's employing the people that come out of Tech?
Okay. It's different starting. Depends on the size of the company.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, the can be anywhere from 16, 17, 18 to into the 20s. The state average a few years ago by the Board of Labor was about 47,000 average.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's increased a little bit more now. That was statewide. So it depends on the company. A bigger company like ZF would be a little more. BMW, that's some of the people that our graduates have gone to. Eaton Corporation, Fuji, varied ones, Flexible Technologies in Abbeville. There's a lot of companies. Our graduates are all over. So, yeah, and they're doing pretty well.
Now, out of curiosity, I'll use the word easy, is it for them to get a job when they graduate from this program?
Well, some people who are in apprenticeship programs with those companies, it's kind of a win-win situation for the prospective person in the apprenticeship program and the employer. They get to see that person before they actually hire them. Mm-hmm. And we've had some recent success stories with that. Fuji just recently hired one of our former graduates, and so in fact, he's going to be our guest speaker at our next advisory committee meeting on the 29th of this month. So I put him on the spot and ask him to come back out there and tell his life story, like you're doing to me, right?
Right.
So,
okay.
But anyway, he's they were really impressed with this gentleman.
Now, what is the kind of the apprentice program that you're talking about here?
With this particular company, they help pay for the education, and they give them work experience hours. So you're still pursuing your education to get your degree,
right?
But then you're getting some experience as well. So even if you don't go to work for that company at the end, if there's not an opening for you, you still have some experience to put on your resume to carry with you in another job search. But it's a win-win for the student as well as the employer sometimes. And I know other companies that have done that. When I was working at a previous company, Cryovac, we had people come from Michelin that were there on apprenticeship programs that were there from Clemson. And so, you know, I think it's better way of doing things than just hiring somebody off of what you read off of a resume.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you're actually getting to see that person do what they say they can do.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, they take them under the wing in the plant too of people, and they're shown things that they wouldn't necessarily learn in a classroom. You learn theory, and we do more hands-on application in mechatronics, but we still don't do everything that they're going to encounter out there. It's just impossible to do in the amount of time. But we give them foundations to take with them. And some of them roll into things pretty well, learn, you know, and pick up pretty well.
So, you know, speaking of apprentice program, it is interesting that that really has been the European model for years and years. I mean, I've known many people that have started over there in Germany in an apprentice program and then graduated and had that job already sewed up as they were apprenticing.
Right, yeah. That's kind of their model, and I think I was talking about it to you earlier before we went on air about Berlin, the Siemens Technical Academy. We're actually a partner school with them.
Okay.
And we went over there when we first started mechatronics, had a partnership with them, and went to the level one training, and then we returned, I think, the very next year and went to the level two training. And so that trained us on using their methodology.
Do you think that's a good program?
Approach.
Should we do more of that here in the U.S.?
I think it's necessary, you know, to remain competitive. You know, everybody says, well, they're beating the pants off us economically, but it's just they start a lot sooner than we do.
Start a lot sooner? You mean younger?
Younger, yes.
Younger.
And it's kind of like our approach on a foreign language in this country. Well, take two semesters of Spanish right before you graduate from high school.
Doesn't do you much good.
Yeah. But those people over there can speak English. They take it all the way through their whole course of education.
It is interesting that they learn English, and it really is more of a primary. It is a secondary language, but it's a secondary primary language for so many countries.
They actually treat it as their, I guess, international language, because the Siemens Technical Academy is taught by the Germans in English.
Wow.
Because they have people coming from China, Malaysia. There were people there from Denmark when we were there. And so I was grateful for that. Even the people from Kentucky understood, you know.
Even the people from Kentucky. Yes, okay. Hey, I tell you what, it's time for we'll join South Carolina Radio News. We'll be back. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984, 229-7984. We're going to be delving into more of what it takes to be in the program, what they cover. So please keep it right here with us on WCRS.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here over here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. I tell you what, if you are in the market for a diamond earrings, if you are looking for the rock bottomist deals, I certainly hope you're going to come see us right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass between Bank of America and Burger King. And don't forget, it's time to do those Christmas layaways. And right here at Sharp Facets Gallery, you certainly can do layaways right here. We make it easy. And whether you've got some old trade, you want to trade in and trade up or trade for something different, we're always doing that, as well as buying right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. But we are talking with Charles Dixon with the Megatronics program out there at Piedmont Tech. It looks to me, just for so far what we've talked about, it looks like it's a great career path. What type of person is the right type of candidate for this career?
Well, typically in the past we've said people who have mechanical aptitude as well as electrical or electronic, and we've had various aptitudes or people with different varying skills. Some people will come in there that can take a computer apart and put it back together. Some people will come in there that work on their cars, so they obviously have some of the mechanical aptitude. And then some people are pretty good at programming, things like that. But then we'll have some people will come in there that basically don't have any of those backgrounds, so we try to give them that. And then they're paired with some of those people who do have that aptitude, so it kind of encourages them and they help them. So they don't work just by themselves. They're encouraged to work in teams. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's going to be on a job one day. You know, they've always pushed, and I remember teamwork, and you have team meetings and things like that. They work on projects together. So our first semester robotics group right now, they're working on projects, and they're using 3D printers and things to make their parts.
3D printers, okay.
Yeah, so it amazes me still how that works. But you basically can go in and draw the part that you need, and it'll spit it back out on a 3D printer once you convert it to an STL file. And our engineering graphics program out there has been doing that for years. They've had 3D printers, but they had some very expensive 3D printers.
Yeah, those are, the price, I understand, has really come down on them, but they have been very, very expensive.
This one that we have cost $400.
$400 for a 3D printer.
But we had to put it together ourselves. So one of our part-timers that works with us, that's also a graduate of our mechatronics program, he had one at his house, almost very similar to the same one we bought. So he had the learning curve already, figuring all this stuff out. So it was up and running within about a week.
Wow.
And so we've been able to use it a lot. But you go in and draw the part and spit the part out. And it's interesting, I remember an article a while back about 3D printers saying it was going to be a thing of the future. And I think it's going to improve even more and more. It's going to be like having a printer at your house or having a cell phone one day. Everybody's going to have access to a 3D printer or something. But they were talking about putting them in our libraries one time.
Yeah.
You
won't have to have spare parts. You can just create one when you need one, right?
Oh, well, yeah, I read some interesting articles about that a while back. They were actually 3D printing a mesh that was, it wasn't skin, but it was a growing medium for
skin.
Grafting, and the skin would grow into it, and then after your skin regrew, it would actually dissolve. So and that's all done like on a 3D printer. So what will they won't be able to do one day?
So when you talk about mechatronics and this, what type of classes, is there a lot of math involved? Because for a lot of our generation, our younger generation here, they seem to have a lot of trouble with math.
Yes, the math, we do require some math, but it's like beginning and intermediate algebra, geometry, and trig. And so in the earlier classes when they first start in like DC circuits 1, is mainly just direct current. And they'll have to use Ohm's law and some things like that, and Kirchhoff's current law. And it's just being able to figure out what voltage or current went in this part of the circuit, what voltage drops occurred here. It's just part of the gauntlet you have to get through. It's like taking calculus when you go off to college, you know. So you do that.
Should they be scared of the math, though? I mean, you know, because I know I have a lot of young people that just think that... math is just, and the other thing is, the math that you're doing, can you use your calculator and stuff to do this?
Oh, yeah, we don't require them to do,
anything because, in their head anymore?
Well, they do some things in their head, and some of that stuff will start clicking, but some of the numbers are going to be decimals, you know, the result's going to be in decimal or something. And then we go through scientific and engineering notation. They have to learn that in that first course. So about the first two classes they take, DC circuits 1 and 2, they get some foundations there, and they get some experience with using that math. They use a little bit of right angle trig in figuring out the power triangle and things like that.
They're going to need some math, though.
It's not calculus, but if they, like, we'll have some people that come in there that have taken math 110 or 111 and pre-calculus courses. And then they have their math foundations.
Yeah.
So they don't have to go back and take the industrial math. The industrial math is a basic math course they have to have for our program. It's just required. It's that 15 hours of general education they have to have.
Right.
Two maths and English and then two other elective courses. So the psychology, sociologies, and humanities courses like art, music, things like that.
Sure.
So the... Remember when go off to like an engineering school? Why do I have to have all this? And they say, well, it makes you a more better rounded person, you know.
Right.
So, but if you stop and think about it, art is a very interesting thing, and things that go on in nature are very interesting because this company Festo, they look at nature and what goes on in it, and they model a lot of their automation after what animals do. And it's very interesting. They looked at how a squid works, and they created something called a flexible gripper. And it can, the first time I saw it, I go like, what? You know, but it will pick up any shape object.
Wow.
So you don't have to now design your gripper to pick up a particular part. You can design a gripper that picks up a lot of different parts. And so... they're working on one of those in the first year of vice class, trying to mimic that. There was a thing on Maker magazine. A guy decided he wasn't going to pay the exorbitant amount of money to buy that gripper from this picker company, so he made his own, and it worked. And wow. So they've got it working somewhat now. So anyway, it's fun to take and learn things like that, and it may help you. It may open up some things in your brain. Sometimes you have to. Fire some other synapses in there, I guess they call it, and that you normally wouldn't do. You have to be challenged, and that opens up more learning things to you, I think.
So. You know, the thing about, I guess, the mechatronics is it's a good pre to engineering. We were talking actually go on to engineering if they really decide.
It doesn't directly transfer to a two-year program. I would love to see that happen one day. We've kind of talked about it, but nothing's been done yet. But there's nowhere in South Carolina yet for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
In Georgia, they have a four-year mechatronics program, but it's kind of a mechatronics engineering. Mm-hmm. So they take the higher-level maths and physics and things like that. But this program is mainly geared toward a two-year applied science degree
sure.
for them to be technicians. And so some people, that's as far as they want to go. But sure. Like I say, if
but
they
if
do
you have
want
a bent
go,
towards that angle, if you
can do it, you have to go back and get the higher level maths and take the physics and things like that, and then you could take an engineering path.
Sure. But if you think you'd like to be an engineer, but you know you don't have it in your heart to be an engineer, this would be a good place to go. You know, if somebody's trying to make up their mind, which is, I think, you know, in today's world, we're trying to get our kids to make up their minds so much sooner. I mean, sixth, seventh grade, they're trying to pigeonhole them to a direction. And that's why I guess I brought up the engineering aspect of it. If they think they like to make things or work with their hands, doing things, making things.
It's unlimited what you can do. A lot of, I don't know how to properly phrase this, innovations and things happen when people take risk and do things that they ordinarily wouldn't do.
Right.
And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. That's called learning, you know, and so you don't just stop, you just learn from it, and then and that's what they're doing with a lot of things. I'll ask them to do certain things, but I won't just show them exactly how to do it. I'll give them some guidelines and let them figure it out. And then if they get completely stuck, that's when you kind of step in, but you don't just spoon feed, because then those, like I say, things aren't happening in the brain about, why am I
doing
this?
Well, you want people to be able to have critical thinking, to be able to figure things out on their own. And I think in some aspects of our world today, we're missing that. I think I think we need our young people to be able to take step A, step B, and create and come up with C.
Yeah, it's that's what they're going to be challenged with in life. Nobody's going to stand there and basically, like we said before, spoon feed them. They're going to expect them to take it on their own initiative and do it. And that's the kind of people they're looking for.
Sure.
They want people that can not basically they can go out and investigate, figure it out, learn on their own, not just have to have somebody with them all the time.
Sure. And if you're working with mechanical stuff, you never know what's exactly going to go wrong with something. And that's where all that information coming together makes it you're able to figure out what the problem is. And usually you need that information, and a company is looking for it to be found, understood quickly, because time is money. All right. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
They say every kiss begins with... But at Sharp Facets Gallery, every smooch begins with Sharp Facets Gallery. Which do you want? A little kiss or a big smooch? I'll bet a big smooch. So shop Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, for rock bottom prices. And smooch-able results.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, and we are talking about finding a career path for your child or grandchild. I tell you what, it's tough to know what direction to go. The world has been upside down for a pretty good while when it comes to finding a job, and that's why education is so important. And you and I were just kind of talking about the automation program and what you're trying to do with that, Charles. What is the deal there?
Well, we have this program we're trying to promote. It's basically Introduction to Automation, and you can kind of begin your path toward mechatronics while you're still in high school. And so we've talked to some schools already, and we've talked to the Greenwood Career Center, which is feeds for some of the high schools in the past about doing this. And we've had people come from those schools to our mechatronics program, but we've had not too many of them take advantage of getting a lot of credits before they come. So they're taking those classes while they're still in high school, still, you know, getting their Carnegie credit finished, but they're also earning college credit. And so that's putting them a little further toward their, you know, hopefully their career path, and not, you know, going off to a four-year school and then coming back. And you know, that's a big investment.
It is a big investment.
A lot of investment in time and money. And that may not be where everybody wants to do. I'm not discounting a four-year degree, but it may not be the choice for everybody.
And a lot of people, it's a burden expense-wise to be able to do. Whereas Piedmont Tech and those the dual enrollment, you're right, they already get a jump. And then if they take this automation program, what does that put them when they actually graduate from high school?
Well, if they were to take all six of these courses that we're proposing they would do, at the end of that, they would have two semesters of a six-semester program out of the way.
Wow.
And then they would only have to go four more semesters, which is like one full year and then a summer.
Wow.
And so if they did that, then it would be into the job market, hopefully, you know, some of them right away in apprenticeship programs, or then at least when they graduate, get placed in jobs. So we have a pretty good placement.
That's what I was going to ask you. What type of record do you have on placement? And particularly, we do have, I know ZF is constantly expanding, and some of our other industries here are too.
We've had, I know South Carolina's become kind of the, becoming an automobile hub. You know, we make a lot of tires here. There's three different tire companies, and we've placed people in Michelin, we place people in Bridgestone. ZF, BMW, places like that. So
the Volvo plant
the
is coming.
The Volvo plant's coming. Yeah,
I'm telling
and,
you.
And you know, it's South Carolina's got a lot of job opportunities, so they're looking for people to fill all kinds of jobs.
Yeah, I would even think Boeing down there would have possibilities futuristically too.
I don't know if any of our students just rings a bell, but. Right. Colgate Palmolive is just up. They just hired some of our students, recent graduates, and their engineering and maintenance manager is going to be on our advisory committee. So we're hoping to get more involvement with them, maybe an apprenticeship program down the road with them. We don't know. But
well, they have a big building.
They have a big building, yes.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's Well, that's terrific. So this is a really, you know, if you have a student who is a tinkerer, somebody that likes to build things.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to take an aptitude. I mean, you can take an aptitude test, but you kind of know the student that kind of has that bent.
We do. Yeah. They'll come in. People who are work on cars, farm equipment, things like that. People who build computers. People who just tinker in, some people tinker with microprocessors in their house now. I mean, it's seriously, I wonder why some houses haven't burned down, but evidently they know what they're doing. but little microcontrollers and things like that have that kind of background or thought pattern. A person
building
doesn't
robots,
a person doesn't have to be a quote unquote geek, but it probably doesn't hurt, you know.
So if you have a child that likes that type of direction, you might ought to foster that interest. And, you know, I think you're right. I think so many times in the past, we always thought that four-year degree was the end-all direction. And that doesn't mean that it's not. But for a lot of kids in today's world, they want to get out and they want to do things now.
Yeah, and it's economically rewarding, too. Some of those people make pretty good money. I talked with a guy who had a two-year EET degree that's working at Bridgestone, and the kid was making close to $100,000 a year. I mean...
I'm giving up this radio gig here and going back to school, folks.
You know, he didn't do that working a 35-hour work week like they do in Europe. You know,
right.
He worked some overtime. And a lot of times in maintenance jobs, that's what you do. So with all the overtime and everything included, that's what...
I don't get any overtime on my job.
I don't either.
But I tell you what, I sure work the hours here. Well, entry-level positions for this type of program... typically would start at what kind of dollar figure?
It varies, you know, in the low teens, mid teens, up to the early 20s, you know, so things like that.
And I would expect that once you started working for a company, if you're good and they want to expand, that they will even want you to go back to school.
Some of them have encouraged that, and some of them have done that and gone back and got a four-year degree at different. Maybe not exactly in their area, but something related. And like I said, I wish there was more there was a four-year path for the mechatronics, and maybe down the road one day we can get that.
Sure.
I know in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is the other state,
right,
they have the industrial mechatronics program and the engineering mechatronics program. And so they have a bigger populous area to feed that.
Sure.
And industry. So maybe one day that will happen, but time will tell, you know, we'll see. But right now we're needing a lot of people to fill a lot of jobs.
Right here in this area.
In this area and the state. So we have several mechatronics programs throughout our state now, through our technical state school system. And they're needing people to teach mechatronics. They're needing people to fill mechatronics jobs.
Is this a job you can go back to if you have, let's say you've never done anything like this, but you're at maybe that 35, 40-year age bracket, and you're I got to do something different here.
Yeah, we have, but like I said before, we had the industrial electronics for years, and then we added the mechatronics. We'll have some of those students come back because we did not have the robotics in there, and so they'll take the robotics classes, and some of them will come back and just take the other additional classes they need to get a mechatronics degree. So we've had some you know, interest in that, and that's good because they're updating their skills now.
And that's something I understand we're going to be doing. Young people today are going to be going back to school probably all their life.
Oh yeah, it's not like we were talking earlier. It's not like you graduate from high school or not even graduate from high school and go to work for a company and work for them for 30 years and then retire. Nah.
Nope,
probably
it's not
going
that way.
Yeah, I kind of wish it was, but it's not.
Yeah, I think life was simpler, Charles. I really do. Hey, I tell you what, if you are interested in the mechatronics program, if you'd like some more information, you've been listening right here to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Charles, can they call you?
Yes, they can call me 864-941-8656. That's my office number.
Okay.
And they can leave a message, and they can also contact Regina Washington. She's at 941-8352. And that would be to talk about dual enrollment or even the full mechatronics program, industrial electronics, any of those programs.
Absolutely.
We're trying to promote this, and we're going to be visiting a lot more places. We're going to have an open house out there, I think, in March. There's going to be a lot of things going on to kind of show people what we do out there. And we invite anybody anytime if they want to come out, and we'll show them around our labs, let them come see what we do.
So, sure, it's great. Yeah. You know, back in the fall, wasn't it? Back in September, they had the groups where the different industries came in.
They did, yeah.
And I'm sure that was exciting and successful program.
Yeah, they had the high schoolers come in from
11th
Emerald and Greenwood. I think on Wednesday and Tuesday they had Ware Shoals in 96. And they were those age groups, 10th, 11th, 12th graders, things like that. And so I was talking to them about, you know, talking to their guidance counselors and see, you know,
the interest level was. Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens there. But we've been trying to kind of get something going with some of the high schools to promote this and offer it in there as a path, you know, for a career one day.
That's right.
And we've had people come from Emerald and other high schools that have come into our mechatronics program. One guy was a welder, but then he decided to go into mechatronics as well. So those kind of degrees, machine tool, welding, mechatronics, and some of the others kind of work together because some of these industries, like ZF, like we were talking about before, they want people with backgrounds in machine tool and mechatronics sometimes because they have to work on that equipment.
Sure.
So you need to know a little bit about how that equipment works.
Sure.
To work on it. There's all kind of opportunities out there, and I have one student now who's had a lot of stuff classes before he came into the mechatronics program.
Mm-hmm.
So one semester he's only going to have one class that he hasn't taken, and so he's paying for his education out of pocket, so he can take whatever he wants. I told him, take some machine tool classes, you know, get the machine tool certificate degree as well, and that will marry well with your other degree.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that Piedmont Tech does a great job is sitting down with students and trying to help them put together a career path that will make it futuristically something where they can succeed. And I think that is a terrific part of Piedmont Tech.
Yeah, it's been an interesting career so far. And I guess I'm planning on being there as long as nobody decides what I said on this radio show was too offensive, and they don't fire me.
So. I don't think you've said anything, Charles. I mean, I can vouch for that. Yeah. It's been always interesting to learn more about what goes on in Piedmont Tech, because I think sometimes we think, oh, it's Piedmont Tech. Yeah, we know what goes on out there. And then you sit down and you find out about other programs and things going on, and it certainly expands our knowledge. And if we've reached just one or two people that say, hey, this is what my child or grandchild ought to be looking at, it definitely was worthwhile. So thank you so much for coming out today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Charles Dixon. He is in the Mechatronics Department out there at Piedmont Tech. I am, of course, Ann Eller, and we are going to finish up. I'll be back in the morning. Make sure you stay tuned right here on WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.